Well, hello out there in radio land once again. It's Adam here on The Talking Place, the best place for talk anywhere in any of the eight planets. Now that Pluto is not really considered a planet, but certainly on planet Earth, North America, and anywhere and everywhere in and around the historic city of Marion, OH. We bring you the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning or early afternoon coffee break radio extravaganza, and my microphone mate, my brother in broadcasting, is the one and only Ronald L. Feynman, Ph.D., where L doesn't stand for liberal. It stands for lots of great talk. Whether you think he's liberal or not, it's kind of a relative thing, so we invite you to form your own opinion. Ron has been on the air with this station for 6, 7, 8, 9 years. I've kind of lost track. He's been on with Glenn.
Six and a half years.
Yes.
Six and a half years.
With our
since February 2017, yeah.
Mayoral candidate Glenn. He's been on the air, of course, with the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears. But if Bill Cosby comes on the air with the interviewer to the stars, we certainly would expect a distinguished and very well-published, erudite, and otherwise splendiferous gentleman like Ron Feynman to share the airwaves with us. So, Ron, you're there in Boca Raton in southeastern Florida. And how has the weather been treating you during this climate change and summer and other weather events that we've been experiencing?
Well, I'm not out very much, you know, at this stage of my life. Just when I have to go shopping or teach, but I'm not teaching over the summer. So I have air conditioning working, thank goodness, so it doesn't affect me. But when I go outside, I can see why I don't want to be outside very much.
It's been a
lot of talk
about climate change, and you write a blog, of course, called theprogressiveprofessor.com, and you're not the science major like I was, but certainly you've been around the block, and you've witnessed weather. And, you know, climate change, Ron, is something that has been an item of controversy. As you probably know, I put it, not really much unlike COVID in that it exists, but it's been exaggerated, dramatized, and heavily politicized. I would say COVID is more extreme in that direction. And as I say, I know we don't agree on this, but, you know, I'm entitled to my opinion. My opinion is that for all intents and purposes, or as I say, for all intensive purposes, the way it's been presented, COVID's a big scam and it's essentially fake. Not that the disease doesn't exist, but not the way it's been presented. It's been an effort by the medical and pharmaceutical industries to control people, to permanently scar our society, and seems to have done that. Now, with climate change, I think we agree more. We do agree it exists. And again, I was a science major, and I understand enough about climatology to be dangerous. But you may recall Greta Thunberg and others kind of thought by 2023, climate change would have made such a difference in our society that for all intents and purposes, we're heading down a path where the Earth may not be a livable planet anymore. I wouldn't put it to that extreme. There are people, Governor Jay Inslee of Washington, saying that climate change is quite possibly the most major issue facing our country right now. I don't think you and I agree on that. We do agree that it exists. But it seems like the minute we're saying, okay, well, it's been the hottest week ever, the rainiest week, things get back to normal or it gets cooler. Like, is it really getting hotter? Is it changing or is it getting warmer? Is the ozone layer dissipating? It is kind of hard to tell. I certainly would say that climate change, like anything else, is continual. The world is not in the same condition it was even when we started this show. But exactly how major of an issue this is, who knows? And
we'll have to see what happens in the next year or two. If it keeps on getting hotter next year and the year after, and then I think it is a sign of a real crisis. But it could be something that's not going to be continuous.
It is kind of fascinating. And like almost everything, again, like COVID, I mean, it's certainly been politicized. We can agree on that one. We can certainly discuss, well, Donald Trump, certainly there are things that he may be good at, but I wouldn't say he has a lot of science knowledge.
He's very good at lying. That's one thing he's very good at.
Barack Obama, I mean, being an attorney, but I think he has a lot of great all-around knowledge, and I think he would have some relevant things to say about climate change if he were still at the helm. He's kind of kept a low profile.
Yeah, by the way, talking about that, Obama's birthday is coming up on August 4th. He'll be 62 years old. Can you imagine that?
62. You know, that seems kind of young for a president at this point, considering the age of our current president, considering the ages of people yes. hoping to be our next president. Actually, he's close to the same age as a person living one state over. That would, of course, be
yes,
Mike
and
Pence.
And I want to add in Joe Manchin is supposedly thinking of running for president, which I think is ridiculous. I want to point out he will be 77 if he's inaugurated. He'll be the same age as Trump and Biden. He's not younger, just a year or two. So for him to run is preposterous.
If ever I feel that I'm getting old, Ron, the age of these presidents and presidential candidates, suddenly I feel like a bit of a spring chicken. You know, Barack Obama,
yes.
he was president of quite a while ago. He was in his late 40s, I believe, when he became president, and he's still early 60s. You can tell, I mean, he's got the gray hair, but he's in pretty good shape, and he's not letting get to him. And who knows if this low profile is going to continue. I almost see him, Ron, as being, you know, 20 years down the road, almost like the way we look at Jimmy Carter right now. Love him or hate him, he has been an elder statesman and someone we can admire. You know,
talk about Jimmy Carter. He is now 98 and in almost 9 months. The man is amazing. October 1, he'll be 99. And although he's in hospice, I don't think he's dying so soon. Although after Tony Bennett, who knows?
mourn the death of a great musician, Tony Bennett. One of the old-school crooners, great voice. And someone who wasn't afraid, Ron, to get with the times. He did a duet with Lady Gaga, kind of an odd couple, but two very talented people with, I would say, different fan bases. But sometimes the more things seem different, the more they are the same. What I can say is they're both very talented. And I would say from the entertainment business, good role models for different generations. And may Tony rest in peace. Certainly.
Yes, I wanted to say something about Tony Bennett, that when he was in the military, when he was 18, he decided to dine with a fellow soldier who was African-American, and because of that, and this was the racist military in World War II, he was demoted. Can you believe this? But he stood up to civil rights at age 18 in 1945. That's very, very courageous.
Kind of reminds me, didn't Ed Sullivan have a black female entertainer, and there was some flack from the network or his sponsors about that, and he just went ahead and did it anyway. It might not have been Ed Sullivan. It was a certain variety show.
I'm not sure what you mean.
I'm sorry?
It's so unbelievable when you look back about that. People are serving in the military, and he dines with a black friend, and they make it an issue. Why are you dining? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's
just
one
like
thing.
Sammy Davis Jr. In Las Vegas. Frank Sinatra said, if you don't let him eat at the hotel where he's singing, I'm not going to come back. Frank Sinatra was very admirable for that.
Yeah, it's one thing you and I can agree on. That's absurd. And I don't care if it happened yesterday or it happened 50 years ago or 100 years ago. Inexcusable and very uncool. And that's about all I have to say about that. You and I can agree 110% on that one. So we do invite Ron to Ron's blog. We invite you to peruse it, to bookmark it, to print it out, to paste it to your refrigerator and tell everybody in your family to read it because it's good stuff. TheProgressiveProfessor.com, and the caption is An Educated View from the Left. It's not always that political, but granted, ever since Donald Trump entered office, it's been a little more political and slanted because there's been so much controversy and just so much juicy stuff in this country. But many times he just discusses history. Like the upcoming 100th anniversary of Marion's own Warren Gamaliel Harding's passing.
Yes.
Sometimes it's not really political, it's just historical. And rumor has it there might be some special presentation with Ron and Scott and who knows whoever else as we commemorate this centennial of the passing of President Harding. I have to stay tuned for
Wednesday, August 2nd is the 100th anniversary.
Whatever it is, it'll be juicy, just like almost everything on this radio station. So, in this blog, Ron, we can
something about. Okay, can I just interrupt?
Oh, most certainly. You go ahead. I'll keep my lip buttoned, and you can go ahead and talk away.
Yeah. I was analyzing about presidents in their first term in the third year. Two presidents have died in the third year of the only term. John F. Kennedy, November 63, Harding, August 1923, not killed, but died. And then I was thinking, I worry about Joe Biden. I think he's really done a great job, but his age worries me. And I'm thinking, my God, we're in the third year again, and it's another zero election year like 1920 and 1960. He was elected in 2020, and it's just mused and wondered, could something, God forbid, go wrong, and he ends up not finishing the term? I hope he does, but it makes me think about it because of Harding and Kennedy. Maybe I'm crazy, but that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, well, we will find out. Certainly the political landscape right now is, out of lack of a better term, fascinating, interesting, capricious. Thought of several terms.
Yes.
And just when you thought you figured it out, you find out something else is going on. Now, last time we got together, Ron, we, of course, only talked about part of what we wanted to talk about. I do want to continue with something we mentioned toward the end, and that would be the change or essentially removal of affirmative action. Now, first, since, again, I'm just the goofy chemistry major, you're the PhD in presidentology and history and all that good stuff. Tell us exactly, Ron, what happened. Is affirmative action, has it gone the way of the hula hoop and the yo-yo? Has it been changed? What exactly happened to affirmative action?
It seems to have been ended, and I must admit I have mixed feelings about it, because 50 years ago, affirmative action was already in place, and it was a factor in some searches when I was trying to get a professorship about certain people, you know, certain places picking women, not only minorities, but women or minorities, because of the lack of having them on faculty. And obviously I had a mixed feeling about it. And I've always felt so like in the middle on it. I see the need for it, but I think there needs to be modification. But to totally wipe it out, I actually am against what the Supreme Court did. And now the issue of legacy, of people getting into universities because of their family history, of people having gone, that's starting to go too, which I guess is good, because nobody should be favored because of their relatives having gone, or because they give a lot of money to the university. But I think it's going to cause a decline in the number of minority students that will be at top universities, and I think that's bad. So I'm not happy about it, but I'm in the middle on it. I've always been in the middle on it. Not totally against, but not totally for.
Yeah, that is fascinating, Ron. Now, yes, for those who've not seen Ron's delightful mug, he is a male, an XY, of the Caucasian persuasion. Now, religiously, you are a minority, but you really don't practice that religion, and I'm not sure it really even came into play. But being a white male and not being, women actually are a majority, but 50 years ago, most professors were men. I think we can agree on that.
White men, yes.
It's changed.
I only had one or two women at all when I was in college. But I want to mention an interesting story. I was interviewed at Vassar College back about 1978, Vassar College, Poughkeepsie, New York. And I was interviewed and I was told I was one of 10 finalists, and I was a rare case, a white male, because most of them were women. And what happened is, the person interviewing me joked, and he said, Ron, he said, if you could become first transgender tennis player, Renee Richards, who was Richard Raskin, she said, if you were Renee Richards, you could have the job. I remember him saying that. And it was funny, but it was also annoying.
Yeah, I mean, we could agree, Ron, discrimination in any form is wrong. I don't differentiate between reverse discrimination. It's if you are not hiring or in some other way choosing a candidate or someone you're hiring based upon merits, which obviously that is even a bit of a gray area, you are discriminating.
Well, of course.
And of course, it's impossible to be completely objective, but certainly from a professional standpoint, I think we can come mighty close. And again, you are an XY, a male of the Caucasian persuasion. So, yes, you are someone who would be a case in point. Now, how would you feel if somebody said there is a black female who obviously is not as qualified as you are? She doesn't even have a PhD, but we have a hiring quota. We are practicing affirmative action. We are going to hire her. And part of the reason is that we want a diversity in the staff. Now, we would agree that these especially in the humanities. Now, again, even in science, in more my field, but even in the humanities, I think it's important to have as much diversity as possible, diversity of viewpoints, while still being objective. But how would you feel if somebody said that? And is that happening? And is that discrimination? I mean, and that's kind of what comes into play.
I would not like it. And I must say, going to various conventions, not recently, but 10, 20 years ago, I found at historical conventions, the vast number of people that seem to be at these conventions getting jobs seem to be women, mostly white women, maybe some minority women, but there's so many more females now on college university faculty. I'm not against it, but it's really a big dramatic change, because it almost seems in many cases that a white male or even a black male doesn't have as much chance as a female on many university campuses. It just seems that way. But again, it's more the theory. I don't know for sure, but it just seems that way.
Is that fair? Do you think that there is call it reverse discrimination. I call it discrimination. I mean, it's not your fault you're a white male, and I'm a white male, as people may know. Well, that's not my fault either. And should we be discriminated against? How do we solve that?
Yeah, I don't know, but I remember being at these conventions trying to get a small talk with some of these women, and they almost seem uninterested in talking to men. I don't know what to make of it. It was only like it turns off the number of times that happened. They didn't even want to go beyond a sentence or two. It's almost like they were being snobby, and I was trying to figure out what this is all about. I don't quite understand, but I think that there is a feeling, I think, a lot of these people, that they feel they're entitled because of women not having been treated fairly in the past. And in a way, I agree, but in a way, I don't.
Well, I think we agree on this a lot more than we think we do, Ron.
Yeah.
You did not discriminate. You, I can guarantee you, are not a sexist. You're not a racist. And neither am I. In fact, I consider myself a feminist, especially with all the, for lack of a better term, transgender crapola going on. I'm really moving forward with my views about equal rights for women, because they're being shot down. And as you know, I'm not a happy camper about this. Again, I look at the person. However, I do understand that there are differences. There are differences between one type of a person and another type of a person. We're all different. We all have our good points and our bad points. And discrimination in any form is wrong. And interestingly, Ron, because I didn't even know this, we haven't even talked about this off the air, and you haven't, as far as I know, posted it in your blog or elsewhere, that, and you said we're experiencing women kind of giving you the cold shoulder. It's like, what's this white boy here trying to take our job? Maybe that's because he has a PhD, he's a published author, and he's a darn smart guy that is very qualified. Maybe that's the reason why this white boy is treading on our turf. And I don't like that attitude one bit.
No. But again, I don't think they really knew it. I wasn't going around broadcasting my background. But it's just they seem to not even want to talk to men. So I didn't know what to make of it. Maybe it's just my experience. It just seemed weird to me, though. Happened more than once at a number of conventions.
I think you're almost saying, it seems like your opinion, Ron, again, and this is, you know, kind of surprisingly, I think you and I agree at least three quarters on this, which is more than people might think. It's almost like immigration. You and I do not agree that people should come here illegally, that we are both descendants of immigrants who came here legally. And again, the world has changed. This is before 9/11, before nuclear weapons, before many things that did not exist back then. So we're really comparing apples to oranges, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
But you and I do not agree that people should just walk across the border. We agree that the border should be enforced. And we agree there needs to be some kind of immigration reform. What the solution is, we're not totally sure. But it certainly does need to be accomplished. And it almost seems like
it has not been for 20 years since George W. Bush wanted to promote immigration reform. Nothing has been done. It's long overdue. We need it.
So actually, it was a Republican who,
and so was John McCain, was for immigration reform. So, but these extreme right wing Republicans don't want it. That's the problem. And Trump doesn't want it, and DeSantis doesn't want it, and people like that don't want it. That's really a problem. I guess you call them the old Republicans, in quotes, the McCains and the George W. Bushes and the Jeb Bushes were different, you know, but they couldn't get it done, and Obama couldn't get it done, and Biden can't get it done at this point.
You know, Obama being someone who's multiracial, multicultural, born in Hawaii, kind of think of him as being from Chicago. I mean, a rather diverse person and a lawyer. And very, very smart, well-spoken man. 8 years he was president. Why couldn't he get it done? He seems to be the perfect person to fix it.
Because of Republican opposition in Congress. That's why. They blocked it over 6 years. He couldn't get it done the first 2 years, and then the Democrats lost control first of the House and then of the Senate, so they couldn't get it done.
So
you have to have the numbers. It's not LBJ or FDR where they had massive margins. They always had an edge, those two. That's why Joe Biden does not have that edge any more than Obama did or even Carter did. You know, it's very hard. It's not like the LBJ, FDR times, you know.
And so Biden, of course, being his vice president, he's suffering a similar fate, that he just can't wave the magic wand.
On that, yes, unfortunately. He'd like to do a lot more, but no, he can't do it because we have a split Congress now again by small margins, but nothing's going to happen. So, but again, George W. Bush stood up for it, and so did John McCain. May he rest in peace.
So might we be better off with a moderate Republican like, if let's say, John McCain, just theoretically? Because he certainly was fairly moderate.
Can I say what I want to say? Duh. Of course we should have John McCain type. But we don't. That's the problem.
Do you think maybe a compromise on your end, you know, being a Democrat, that if we had a moderate Republican, I mean, even I bring up Nikki Haley. I know I bring her up all the time. And, to me, she's fairly moderate. I would say not as moderate as McCain, but certainly to the left of some of the other ones, certainly to the left of DeSantis. Yeah. Do you think she could accomplish something?
I don't know about her because she switches so much. But I wanted to mention, I wrote about no labels, this no labels movement that's pushing Joe Manchin or John Huntsman. I'm so shocked that John Huntsman, who I liked in 2012, is thinking of flirting with the third party, maybe even running. I mean, what does he think? All it's going to do is help Trump. It's going to hurt Biden and help Trump. But what gets me is I was so outraged, and I think I wrote about it. Lisa Murkowski, who I always respected, one of the few moderate Republican senators from Alaska, and she was asked, and I saw her saying it, if you were given a choice between Biden or Trump for 2024, so she said, I would pick Joe Manchin. I'm saying, really? You would really do that? And I'm just stunned by her saying that. I really lost respect for her. I really did.
Do you think that, of course, we could say the same thing about Harris, but I'm not really seeing any results. And again, she was the one who compared ICE to the KKK, so you know how I feel about her. But Haley, being multicultural, do you think she, and fairly moderate Republican, do you think if she were sitting in the Oval Office that she could solve this immigration puzzle? What do we need to solve this puzzle?
She has not spoken up for immigration reform. Now, you never know if she was in office, but she is not saying that. That's not the Republican line now to support immigration reform. So it's not happening. But I'm just stunned that the few so-called moderates, the Romneys, the Murkowskis, the Collins, they're no better. I mean, on a couple of issues, they vote, in my mind, better. But overall, they're very upsetting that there's no real moderate Republicans, no old-time Republicans, no more Bush Republicans or McCain Republicans, it seems. Look, is Lindsey Graham? He used to be McCain. Now he loves Trump after condemning him years ago. So there's nobody with any principle left in the Republican Party that I can see at this point on the national level.
It sounds very upsetting. We in principle agree. It needs to be reformed. It's not working. And how it's reformed, who knows? But I guess we'll find out, and hopefully we can solve this puzzle, as it certainly is an important one. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with our official presidentologist and historian, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, from his domicile in Boca Raton, Florida. He does write the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. On July 20th, you wrote, Republicans refuse to deal with climate change despite heat records being set. We discussed that earlier. As I mentioned, you remember the Democratic debates, Jay Inslee was kind of obsessed with climate change. And, you know, you and I agree, it's there, but I don't think it's the number one issue facing this country right now. That's a little too dramatic. Do you think it's going to come up at all in this upcoming election? Do you think we'll even be discussed among the Republicans, or they kind of stick it to the Democrats? And then when we have the Democratic and Republican debates on whether or not Biden being the Democratic nominee, that it will be a point of contention?
Oh, absolutely it will be. And my son David, who's involved in the environmental movement with the Conservation Lands Foundation, makes it very clear that this is not an issue you can just forget about. It's very important. And I think it will be, the Republicans will repudiate it, but I think it will be an issue in the campaign, yes.
So we'll find out, just when you think you figured things out. some curves get thrown, to put it mildly. On July 19th,
yeah, I think the gun crisis. Is something that cannot be avoided anymore. About doing something about guns with all the mass murders going on. Anyway, I'm sorry. On July 19th, Donald Trump.
Guns also, and that's something else for you and I mostly agree. We don't hunt, but we agree people should be able to hunt. It's something we do here in this.
Well, I don't hunt.
Country.
I've never hunted. Have you hunted?
Yeah. I tried it a couple times, but I think people have a right to. Again, just because I don't hunt doesn't doesn't mean people shouldn't be able to, especially here in Ohio. It's very common.
And the thought of killing a deer or bird, I can't see killing anything. That's just me. I'm very, very pacifist in that regard.
Right, but you agree that it should be legal to hunt, but people should
Yes. But not legal to go around killing people.
Right. Well, it's extremely different. But when you hunt a deer or bird, do it safely. Receive training,
but how
obviously.
How can you kill Bambi, I always say. Yeah. How can you kill Bambi?
Right. But it's in that mindset where just because we may not do it, we may not even think it's right, it should be legal. Almost, my goodness, it almost sounds like abortion, but we're not gonna go down that slippery slope. But again, as you know, I lean libertarian, so I look at many things. You know, you've seen the T-shirt that says, you know, don't like pot, don't smoke it, don't like hunting, don't hunt, don't like gay marriage, don't have one, don't like abortion, don't get one. I mean, some of these things are a little more controversial than others. However, I kind of take that viewpoint that we. That's why it's called libertarian, that we have our liberties, and responsible liberties, I think, are what this country is made of. Just like I often describe our government as compassionate capitalism. As we're compassionate, we will give assistance when needed, but we're not keen on people abusing it, nor do we think we should have that socialist mindset. But that doesn't mean we don't have social programs. So that's, you want to sum up my politics in 15 seconds, there you go.
Yeah, George W. Bush always talked about compassionate conservatism. Conservatism today is not compassionate, though. It's very different than what George W. Bush did.
Yeah, well,
I can't believe I'm defending George W. Bush. But in comparison, he looks not so terrible anymore.
Right, well,
everything is relative.
Politics has its oxymorons, has its paradoxes. But you know, we can agree that the Bushes, I really found many things about George W. Bush to be appealing, and some things maybe not appealing. But we can agree that he was well-spoken. He was, well, let's just ignore his vice president, but George W. Bush qualified. He was an owner of a baseball team. He was a governor of a large state, Texas, and certainly from a family of distinguished politicians. And I think relative to some of the Republicans right now, moderate, as moderate or not moderate or extreme, those are relative to put it mildly. So anyway, on July 19th, Ron, Donald Trump indictments mounting up. This was on your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Former President Donald Trump has already been indicted twice, and it now seems clear that he will be indicted in the next couple of weeks, at least twice more, by Jack Smith regarding the January 6th events. Except for Chris Christie and Asa Hutchinson, no other Republican contender for the White House is willing to show guts and courage and denounce Trump's call for him not to be allowed to compete for the presidency. So since you wrote this, hasn't happened, and there's been a lot of press about Donald Trump. Is he going to end up in an orange jumpsuit? Is this going to be go through the courts for the next 50 years? Any news on that since we talked last time?
Well, supposedly they issued some guidelines, I think on Tuesday, was it? So I think this week we're going to get an indictment, and then the Georgia case will come later. As far as him going to prison, I don't know. It's going to be very hard. Being indicted is not being convicted. It's going to drag on, but it scares me that he's really inciting people to start a new insurrection. That's what worries me. And he's cancerous. He needs to be gone. He needs to no longer be a factor. I'm hoping that if he's really threatened with prison, that he'll make a deal to drop out of the race just to avoid prison. That's some rumors about that, because that would be a blessing. Even though I think he should go to prison, I'd rather he just not be president again and have that authority that he's wishing to gain again. So, but we'll have to see. But it's not going to be an easy time now, no question. It's going to be very difficult.
It certainly is good, though, for the talk radio business, for the gossip business, and other things related to people discussing stuff. And that's good. You and I can agree, Ron, Donald Trump, colorful character, love him or hate him. He certainly is someone who elicits opinions and viewpoints and controversy and gets people involved in the system, gets people interested. Doesn't mean you don't have to like the guy, but he certainly isn't boring. Let's put it that way.
Well, there's been more corruption under him than under any other president. He surpasses Nixon and the second Bush and Reagan in that sense, and also Harding and Grant. Most corrupt, and it's not even ended yet. So, and by the way, just for the record, they're all Republicans, not because I'm saying it as a Democrat. There is no Democrat that matches the corruption of the ones I mentioned. There's minor corruption, but nothing on the high level that these presidents had, Harding, Grant, Nixon, Bush 2, not Bush 1, and Reagan somewhat, and also Trump. Interestingly, not Ford and not H.W. Bush, which I think is very, and not Eisenhower, which is interesting.
Earlier in the month, you wrote about a topic that you and I are not going to agree on, so we're just going to go ahead and elicit your opinion. Joe Biden's amazing economic record after 2.5 years in the presidency. Now, the first thing anybody is going to say, including myself, and even yourself, because you're not saying Biden is perfect, is inflation.
No, of course.
Now, inflation may have dropped since it was at a ridiculous level, but the bottom line is it's still climbing, and we've not recovered from these food prices, these gas prices, and anybody who's been to the grocery store has gotten the shocker, and that, myself included.
Yes.
Housing prices.
But that would have happened if it had been Trump in office. Nothing would have changed it. Inflation is not in the control of the president.
Now, we've talked, and you've kind of said the same thing about Mr. Carter, that he was not really at fault for inflation, you know, not the buck stops here. That is how the country goes. The president is a benefactor of circumstance or victim of circumstance.
Yes.
But regardless,
on economics, it is.
If Ford would have won election, it would have been about the same. And you're saying if Trump would have been reelected, it would have been about the same. You don't really see this as being something that's a product of the actual person sitting in the Oval Office.
Not with inflation, but certainly when you look at the things and the laws he's had passed, he's had the most productive domestic 2.5 years since LBJ's time of any president, either party. And if you look at the record, you know, he's not as good as LBJ or FDR, but isn't it interesting? I want to point out that on the 20th, I think, that I talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene is being critical of Joe Biden. On July 18th, and everything she's saying is going to be now a campaign commercial for Biden. By talking about all the horrible, in quotes, things that FDR and LBJ did, and Biden is continuing. It's a real sales pitch for Biden. She's such a moron, but she's actually helping. So they're using what she said now for campaign commercials. It's brilliant. It really is. It's hard not to laugh at what she's done and how she's embarrassed herself at her party, that they're against all the things that people have and they don't want to get rid of. Medicare, Social Security, environmental reform, and everything else that's happened. It's really quite funny, I think, that she's so dumb that she doesn't get it.
And you still are in favor of the aid to the Ukraine, that you feel it's necessary?
Absolutely. To me, it's just like Great Britain 1940-41. It's democracy, and if Russia wins there, then they're going to go into Eastern Europe, and there's going to be World War III. Now, maybe anyway World War III. I mean, if they go into any of the countries. But the fact is that Russia cannot be allowed to go in and take over. And I want to point out that Odessa, which was my ancestral background, is now under barrage and been damaged greatly by Russian military. And it's very disconcerting. I've never been there, but it is my heritage, and I feel terrible about it. So absolutely, Ukraine is a country to be defended. And that worries me. If Trump gets in, he's going to stop it. And that's scary, because then it means he's caving into the Russians, which he's done from the beginning anyway. He loves Putin, and he loves North Korea's leader, and that makes him dangerous. We don't want a person like that. This is not the time to have a Henry Ford or a Charles Lindbergh kind of thing where they loved Nazi Germany before we got into the war. We need to be in this and to overcome it. And the prediction is that Ukraine will win the war by next year, by early next year. And Ukraine says they think they'll be in NATO next year. And really, the Russians have been surrounded because Putin is a threat to the world, and he has to be stopped. I see no alternative.
So you're thinking by this time next year, it'll be over?
In the sense that the Russians will back out, yes. There's no such thing as total defeat, but I think they're losing already anyway. They were supposed to win in 2 weeks. It's a year and a half next month. It's almost a year and a half. And there's been great losses, and their military is not in good shape. They almost had that overthrow of the government a month ago. I think there's a need for change in Russia, and of course, it doesn't mean for democracy, but I think Putin is on his way out, and I think Ukraine is someone to admire. And I want to point out something that's quite funny. I don't know whether you would think it the same way. Some of my son David's friends say he looks like Zelensky. I never thought of it that way. They think he has a similar appearance.
Yeah, I noticed that also. There's a resemblance. There definitely is. I noticed that myself.
So they teased him about it, that he looks like Zelensky. He takes that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, Zelensky's a younger man, right, for a ruler, a country ruler.
Well,
he's in his 40s,
well, actually,
like David, isn't he?
I think he's almost the same age, yeah. Just, I think, a couple of years older than David, yes. But it's funny. I never thought that. I looked and said, yeah, you might be right, that there is a resemblance.
Well, isn't that a blip, as they say?
Let's say it this way. I think Zelensky's a lot more admirable than, at a personal level, than Winston Churchill was in Britain. He was great, but he was a character, Winston Churchill. You know, but, you know, I do think that Zelensky's more of an appealing personality, that I would say. And he's a comedian, by the way. You realize this back when he was a comedian?
Okay, well, you gotta use humor. It's the best medicine for a lot of things, isn't it?
But he was a comedian. That was his career work. He was a comedian before he ran for president. I think it's quite funny.
Adam here on The Talking Place, winding up our broadcast with Dr. Ron L. Feinman, the Progressive Professor, and his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. You touched on earlier the no labels movement, kind of the third party. And I would agree, voting for the no labels is essentially a vote for Donald J. Trump. Tell us about the no labels, and is it a serious threat, and might it result in someone else being in the Oval Office on the 21st of January, 2025?
Well, the point is, no labels cannot win the White House. Nobody's ever on a third party ever won the White House. Theodore Roosevelt in 1912 ended up second ahead of the Republican Party and William Howard Taft, but that's Theodore Roosevelt on the Progressive Boomers Party. The only other time that you would say even people paid much notice was 1992 with Ross Perot. He couldn't win, but he did win 90% of the vote. He didn't win any states, but he did, I think, help to throw the election from H.W. Bush to Clinton. So the thing is, most of the people in this movement are, I guess you'd call them moderate Republicans, if you want to call them, like Huntsman and Larry Hogan of Maryland, people like that, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who I'm so disgusted with now. There are a few Democrats like Joe Manchin, who's really almost like a Republican, and Joe Lieberman, the former, you know, running mate of Al Gore 20-something years ago. But I think that they're living an illusion. They really think that they're going to be able, they can't elect somebody, and they're just going to help Trump, and they should be doing everything to back Joe Biden and not look at it as partisan, but as necessary for the country's future, that Trump is not put back in the White House, because he has revenge in mind, and he will be totally lawless if he gets in office. It's terrifying. So I would wish that. So I'm hoping that they will end up just talking about, but not moving ahead. But I think Manchin is a loser anyway. He's not going to be elected to the Senate again, and he's not going to be elected president, and he's going to be 77. You know, he's not like a young man. That's crazy. If you're going to nominate someone, pick someone much younger to be running, not somebody who in the late 70s. We got to get away from that. And certainly by 2028, we will have younger candidates that we do know.
Adam here on The Talking Place with Dr. Ron Feinman. As we get closer to the 2024 presidential election, it's going to get juicier and juicier, put it mildly.
Yes.
On July 21st, you wrote about some rather upsetting things that your governor, Ron DeSantis, said, telling students that slavery benefited slaves by teaching them job skills, and that race riots saw African Americans both being victimized but also being perpetrators of the riots is a
bold-faced
lie.
Yeah.
He really said that slavery benefited slaves by teaching them job skills?
Yes. That would make some of them be able to be blacksmiths and things like that. Now, it might be technically true, but that's not an excuse to have somebody enslaved. And also the fact that so many of these... And also many of these slaves were the result of a white master with a black woman. I mean, you know, it's just, I just can't believe what he's doing. And unfortunately, it's affecting other states, other so-called red states. So that's why, you know, on Sunday, I wrote, the field of American history under vast attack by politicians with evil motives. It's infuriating, and I'm not going to let it affect me. Technically, the universities, including the one I'm at, are not supposed to get involved with discussion of race. Well, I teach the presidency, and I'm teaching what I've always taught. And if I lose my job, which is part-time anyway, next year, I lose it. I am not going to, you know, interfere with telling the truth. I'm going to say what I have to say, and I made that very clear in my essay yesterday. I said I would not, I for one, would not allow myself to promote and promulgate anything other than the truth, the facts, the reality of the American past as I move forward into the future, still dedicated to inspiring students about the total valid story of the American past. I'm really upset by it. And it's not just me. Anybody who's in the field of American history or just in history in general would certainly be outraged at this, what they're trying to do, and forcing teachers to do this to keep their jobs. So we're going to have a brain drain of people leaving universities in the state and also public schools, because, you know, maybe not right away, but in the year from now, there'll be great vacancies when people find a way to move elsewhere, do something else, because this is interference with freedom of speech and what needs to be taught. These people are not experts on science or history, and they should not be dictating curriculum.
I would say, in any context, human beings being treated as property is wrong, regardless.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what the circumstances are, and that
yes.
particular statement is inexcusable. And people are not property. Does it matter if you don't agree with a certain person's perspective or background? A car is property, not a human being. And slavery was based upon human beings being property.
Yes. And well, he's destroyed himself. He's not going to be the nominee. If anything, there's talk of Tim Scott might become the alternative, although I don't think he's going to be able to stop Trump for the nomination as it stands. But I think he is the alternative, because he comes across as a more decent human being. That's the one thing he has an edge on. He's not as confrontational as DeSantis is. And I think that's a big plus. I really think it is. But I don't see him being the nominee or winning the White House. But
so that statement by DeSantis, from a political standpoint, could be the nail in the coffin for his candidacy. And not only that, possibly his reelection as governor.
Well, actually, he's in a second term, and under the state constitution, you can't be governor for more than 2 consecutive terms. He can come back after being out. So unless they change the constitution, he has to leave by 2026 as far as being governor. But the thing is that his whole attitude, his whole way of speaking, the way he moves his face and the way he speaks, he's so arrogant. He really comes across as a person who doesn't like people very much. And this is something that took a while to realize. It's only when he started the campaign that we realized, you know, he might have been accomplishing certain things in Florida, but when you look at the record, it really, he's not a nice person. He's not a good person. Not that everybody is good. Trump's not good either. But I want someone who's humane and decent. And Tim Scott, at least, I think, comes across as that. So that, yeah. I think, is a plus for him.
DeSantis yeah. could, again, he's in his 40s. He's rather young. Like Voinovich and here in Ohio, could become a senator or have some other high-level office if he doesn't become president. And I would say that that statement, it's going to come back to haunt him. And we'll see what happens. But he just needs to watch what he says. And
he's not careful with what he says. He's very confrontational, in your face, which I don't like. I don't like people being that way, personally. Everybody has their own way of what they like, but I don't like people who act like that. He's not friendly with the media, news media. He's not warm to go up to people. And in fact, they even shown when he faked a laugh. It looks so phony. He doesn't look genuine even when he interacts with people. If you watch him, his body language and the way he speaks and the way he conducts himself, he doesn't like being around people. But you need to do that if you're going to be president.
And so if he does not become our next president, he's a lame duck governor. He'll still be a fairly young man when he leaves office. What do you think he'll be doing when he leaves the governorship? What do you see in his future?
I don't know, but right now, I mean, Rick Scott is running for re-election in the Senate, so we can't do that. And Rubio, it's going to be, I guess, what is it? I guess, 2028. So I don't know. He could also decide just to hang around and run for president as an out-of-office governor. But I think he's been seen already. He's, I think, becoming the Scott Walker. Everybody was raving about Scott Walker in Wisconsin, and he flopped on his face. And there's so many others who have been seen as front runners. Rudy Giuliani in 07 was thought to be a front runner. Look what happened. So I think once this fails now, he's never going to really be a serious candidate again.
We shall see. And as my mama said, time flies when you're having fun.
Yes.
Ron, I really appreciate you being on the show. Great perspectives and opinions and a lot of food for thought, a lot of things people can think about. Please visit Ron on Facebook under Ronald L. Fineman. Become a fan of the Progressive Professor. And listen to this program, read his blog, and form your own opinions. If nothing else, your brain cells and also your funny bone, because you have to giggle a little bit, will thank you profusely. Ron is with us regularly here on The Talking Place, and if you ever miss an episode, please visit our website, wwgh1071.com.